New media, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Tomorrow Show. Its mission, to unite and assist fellow loners and dreamers, to advise and amuse mankind. On behalf of the Not Sam Network, to boldly go where no broadcast, no Not Samsonite, has gone before. The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro and Roxy Stryer. Featuring one celebrity husband's midlife crisis, a reformed party girl's quarterlife crisis, and millennials in Star Trek costumes. And now, the captain and commander of your tomorrow, Kevin Undergaro and Roxy Stryer.
Greetings, people of tomorrow, and Happy New Year. This is your captain, Kevin Undergaro. With me, Roxy and Jillian Stryer.
Hi, Kev.
How are you, darling?
Fantastic. Yeah. How'd you know?
Recently semi-unemployed.
Yeah. You win some, you lose some.
Yeah, we will talk all about it.
Oh, boy.
And remember what the fake psychic taught us. What did she say?
All will be well. That's what Azra said.
That's what she said. All will be well. Stefan, you seem like you're still woke in the new year. Some new woke goals?
So woke.
So woke.
Executing the hell out of my woke goals.
God, it was... I sometimes wish I could talk more. I wish I could speak more truth.
What does that mean?
Just because I'm a little down on my SJWs.
Mm.
I'm a little down on them. The high-end ones. The Illuminati ones.
The rich ones really, get scary.
Not really putting their money where their mouth is. Not really living so much up to what they put out there. Is how much they root for people.
You could be talking about so many different things right now. Are you talking about Australia?
No.
I think we're doing
no, something SJWs really inside. Well sometimes something really inside baseball. Mm. Michael Klaus, born again in the new year. Very excited, right?
Excited, stressed.
Just stressed about what?
Oh, there's a lot of the
Trump's
lot
gonna
of
win.
Things.
If
no,
Iran steps out of line, we'll blow them off the map. What are you stressed about?
There's
and
just a lot.
When the Civil War happens, you're on the right side that's gonna
that's
win
because
you guys are stronger and have way more guns.
Very true.
All the social justice warriors are gonna get blown away.
Very true.
So that's why like you have to be like Ric Flair would be in this. His big thing is like
who's
Rick.
You guys.
I'm just saying you guys meaning you
us
social,
guys?
Yeah, I mean everyone in this room, like when that war goes down. The social justice warriors against the rednecks, you need to be Ric Flair. And Ric Flair, when you ask Ric Flair, like, you know, who's your favorite team? He always goes the winning one.
Mm.
So you, there you go. Thank you, Jeff Graham and the Boof. And the rednecks are going to win. It's just, that's just how I only deal with what is Rox. You know that. In that kind of fight.
I guess.
Well, I mean, you guys will tweet at them, which will be amazing. That'll be good. No.
I don't want to.
I think we'll
can everybody
be on
leave me alone? Can
you want to be left alone? All right, well, Rox, you know, you pulled your gun out of your holster, unfortunately. Now you're in the fight. Jeff Scam in the Boof.
Kev, so excited for today's show.
Jeff's fresh off a Christmas cruise, everybody.
I had a lovely Christmas cruise on the Royal Caribbean Majesty of the Seas. Feel so bad everyone's talking about their serious issues. And I had a nice 7-day vacation to Royal Caribbean's Coco Cay.
I wish in some way that it was possible that Roxy, in all her Jewishness, could go with the Graham family with the uber goy vacation.
So goy.
Right? Where they just to do...
You know what, though? Here's what I'll say. The commonality that Roxy would really appreciate and understand is
none of it.
The family thing. I do think when I hear about the Stryer clan, you're close to your siblings, that feels very relatable
but, yes,
to me.
Yes, but their fun and the Graham fun, that's
different.
Where, yeah.
I don't know, Kev. My sister and I, when we went to Florida for Christmas, we were in bed by 10 every
night.
Yeah,
again, this team's up. Doing pin the tail on the donkey, and do you know
oh,
what
no,
I'm saying?
No, F that.
You know that's what
no.
I'm saying, Rox. No, no.
I was drunk it's on the beach no, all day. Yeah, just to be clear.
Yeah. So, but like Jeff says, the goys like their cocktails.
Oh, we love our cocktails. That's the thing. I think there's this belief that it's totally different, but we're drinking rum runners and pina coladas all day. We got the drink package.
What was
yeah,
that
they
first
did. No,
one?
There was a big discussion. Now, by the way, on our 6 months of Christmas podcast, which we brought back by popular demand,
yes.
We have how many views now, Jeff?
You know, we should ask the elf who we're going to get to in a minute. I think we're getting up to 100, though, Kev. On this
oh, 100
Monday.
Views.
Yes.
Wow. Wait. But we covered it extensively with Jeff
yes.
actually. Purchased the drink package on the cruise, you guys, and it enabled him to give free drinks out to some of the junior members of the family who didn't have the money. And then when we did a cost analysis, what we discovered was that it was, in fact, wise to go with the drink package on the Caribbean cruises. Am I right or wrong, Jeff?
Kevin, you couldn't have said it better. We amortized the drinks that we spread out throughout the day, and we definitely got our money's worth.
Honestly, this is
look at Stephanie.
The adventure of a lifetime. I love this story.
Thank you.
Jeff, your life continues to amaze me.
What was the name of the
and
first drink?
He had to step in and play
the
piano.
No, right? No, a rum listen, runner.
The
rum
piano
runner.
Player in the piano player in the piano bar blew off the whole cruise. So guess who stepped in? Our own Jeff Graham. Because what most people don't know about Jeff, former cruise singer.
I know.
Jeff stepped in and played
piano.
I'll pull it up. We can leave the show on that today if you guys want.
Amazing.
What a blessing. So in studio, we have a couple of our elves.
Yes, we do.
In studio, we have Mackenzie Fain, Haley Catino. These guys came to Jim and Sam show, right? No, we did Chipmas together. Yeah. And now they're long time after Buzz as well. Haley for a year, Mackenzie for, I don't know, 10 years.
Something like that.
You've been with us a while, so obviously we're happy to have you here.
I will chime in.
Please.
I did look, and we have 17 whopping.
17 views!
On our way to 100.
Get it.
But they're very big, like they're very into it. So it's like multiply by 10, it's like 170 people pretty much.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Yeah.
And then if you add the
each of those were family of four.
Lot,
yeah,
and
exactly.
It's probably like 1,000 hearts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really, and when I think of all the time that I spend on a show like that, and I think of like, why doesn't Maria have 5 other tumors?
Don't say that.
A lot of time into a 17 view show, Roxy.
I get it. And I also love a good tumor joke. So
Jeff,
I understand.
You're not giving up on the show.
Kev, it is the highlight of my week. It's just a matter of if we're doing it for them or for us.
I'm wondering, Jeff, if we don't, we try a third title.
Yeah.
Keeping Christmas.
Ooh, Keeping Christmas.
Just the weekly show. What do you guys think?
Well, I can tell you what our very own Megan Lynn thinks, because she is in the chat
MLG.
Right now, and she says, I love 6 months of Christmas. Seriously, please keep it
Thank
going
you,
with
Megan.
Two praying hands. Mm, so you know if she's
hands.
Praying for it, it matters. Do you hear us, God? We know you have no other important things to deal with this week. It's not like half the world is burning. So please, if you do one thing this
100%.
Week, make sure that the 6 months of Christmas goes very well. Thank you.
Thank
Amen.
You, Roxy.
In
Thank
Jesus'
you.
Name we pray.
Yeah. Men.
He was a Jew, after all. Was that offensive
well,
to you, Michael?
It wasn't even
sorry,
after all.
Was
he
joke.
Was a
it's
Jew.
A
you don't dispute that he was a Jew.
No, of course. No, I said he was
he
a Jew.
He was a total Jew.
He was such a Jew.
King of the Jews.
Such a Jew.
He was king of the Jews.
Jew money.
I would have sex with Jesus.
Why wouldn't
okay,
you?
Okay, now he's offended.
Yeah, no, why wouldn't you?
Saying, you would.
To be with the Messiah?
Wait, what?
If anybody says in here that they would not have had sex with Jesus, and
you're lying.
So there's two ways to interpret that. Is that is that figuratively or literally? Because figuratively, you can say that. Literally, you can't because he wouldn't have sex back.
What?
I'm with you, Michael.
What do
Mike,
you mean?
Explain.
What does figuratively having sex?
Be like, I would have sex with Jesus.
He's
like, no, you wouldn't because he would say no.
Oh, he'd say
but
no.
Like,
but he
you,
was flesh and
so
blood, though, Mike.
So it's non-consensual sex, you're saying.
But he
you're
was
saying,
flesh.
I am actually raping Jesus.
This is
by
getting worse. This has gotten
okay,
worse.
Yikes.
But he was of flesh and blood, so he could.
Yeah, he could.
No, because he was without sin.
That sentence out of context.
That's why he was who he was.
But is sex back then a sin?
Yes. Out of wedlock.
So Jesus never had sex either?
Nope.
Wow.
I'd like to
But
see
isn't
it.
God, isn't Jesus God? And isn't Jesus the Son
yes.
of God?
Jeff's
yes.
calling bullshit.
But, God,
in the
came, but
booth.
God was Immaculate Conception. Jesus was, so that's
yeah.
how it got
Jeff's
it.
Calling bullshit.
Well, I'm just
in the
saying,
booth
I wouldn't say I would
right,
as
Jeff?
In I did. I just would.
It's the interpretation of would of I would be
the
I
would.
I would.
I'm Team Mike on this one.
Yep.
I would
well,
if
someday
he had
I'm going to bring
Woody.
It.
She would shoot her shot, is what you're saying.
There are, there are alternative 100%. Teachings, you guys. And someday, maybe I'll bring someone in, a professor. There's alternative teachings. The belief is, Mike and Jeff, you may have to leave studio or you may have to mute me. But there's Uh-oh. Alternative teachings that say that Mary and Joseph, they were very religious, and it was from go that they were going to kind of create, I don't know, some kind of religious group, and they had their son, and he actually got with Mary Magdalene, and the two of them, as a couple, went out and preached. And, you know, he was... Anyway, that's...
So what, she's not a prosy.
Well, and then when the, you know, 300 years later, when the Romans got their hands on the story, they're like, wow, this is a great way to keep everyone in line, because all these great... This man was very enlightened and all these wonderful lessons he shared. And let's create this religion. And by the way, I'm not saying I yay or nay on any of it. I'm just saying this is a theory. And they... but they were like, well, the best way to make it work is to, course, reduce her to a whore.
Yeah,
which you can
be.
See. Right? I mean, duh.
Sucked a lot of wiener.
So, anyway. Anyway, sorry. Reduce Mike, you, Mike and Jeff, you can go back on the mic.
Can I, take my, that can I take my hands off my ears
yes,
right now?
Yeah, you can come back.
Okay, okay.
Can I be...
Jesus was a good
just
man.
Being perfectly honest, though, what we know about Jesus, he probably was incredibly tall, dark, and handsome, right?
No.
I actually don't think so.
No. No,
I think
in fact...
He was kind of non-tradition. He wasn't necessarily a good-looking
guy. I think...
Tall, well, definitely tall and dark. And then he's got that scruffy
thing. Do we know tall?
No, I don't think tall.
Well, I think he was kind of short when you see him on that cross, he's got big arms.
Yeah.
Did you see the photograph or the drawing? Which?
Yeah, a lot of pictures.
Mike,
yeah.
If you look up... Jeff, if you look up... I think there was some... When they went out for his arrest, there was like a description they put out about him, and it was actually contrary to that.
Oh.
That it was like, you know, he was balding, and he, you know, yeah, he was
balding,
like...
Balding? But every picture I see of him, he's got that hair.
And blue eyes, and yeah.
Guess who's in charge of showing you what Jesus looks like? White people.
I think that dude's cute.
This is kind of what Jesus probably looked like.
I would believe that.
Mm-hmm. I think he's hot.
Would you still have sex with him?
100%. I would have sex with Jesus no matter what he looked like. You had sex with Jesus Christ. Are you crazy?
That's the ultimate comment.
That ranks right up there with friends who've called Roxy on the phone and literally said, I just fucked Gronk. Come pick me up.
Yes, yes. And that was really special for them, too.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
What about the Dalai Lama, Rox?
Yeah, no, the spiritual. No. Yeah,
I feel.
What?
I feel.
Why? Oh, you feel like something bad would happen?
Yeah, I feel
like you'd be cursed.
Yeah,
he's not of this earth.
Yeah, but that's Jesus Christ is like that too.
But also,
I think these men. It's like, sorry, Mike, block your ears again. I think there's men and women who are just very enlightened. They're very enlightened by something else bigger than all of us, and some of them, even the Bajwan. You know, if you know that story, he just took it to like the ridiculous level with drugs and sex or whatever. But the things he said though were amazing. You know, so I think that Jesus would be just as enlightened.
Yes to the Dalai Lama. Yes to Gandhi. I mean, throw them at me.
Yeah,
Pope.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm saying
Pope is a little bit more man-made.
I don't like what the Pope's a person who does things that I don't stand by all the time.
And
I think
there's more enlightened people.
There's more politics involved with putting a pope in place. Unfortunately,
who's the pope prior to this pope? Because that homie,
the guy who's like, I'm out.
No, he was like, yo,
Benedict.
I'm going to acknowledge the Jews didn't kill Jesus. The first pope to ever do that, and that guy had bang, because that was a one for the people. I'll take that.
Okay,
so,
great.
Just on the list of people I'd have sex with in 2020.
Unfortunately, you're too old in the wrong sex.
All right, you guys, we have a lot to go over. We have
a
lot, children, we have a lot to go over on the Not Sam channel. But I want to just give a little plug for Sammy Sweetheart. He's been putting up a lot of great content. His Ricky Gervais, if you really want to know more or go deeper on the Ricky Gervais stuff, Sam just crushed it. He did a great job on the breakdown of Ricky Gervais at the Oscars. I thought it was one of the best ones.
I've been watching a lot of his stuff, and another shout out to Sam, because all jokes aside, I have been having a really tough week this week, and Sam sent me a couple of the nicest messages and very proactive messages as well.
Yep.
About what to do and how to move forward, and also saying that he's sorry.
So let's talk about you, Roxy.
Awesome as a friend. No, sorry, I didn't mean to transition.
No, there you go.
Shout out to Sam for being an actual good human.
I think we need to get there. So Collider, went from having you host the show, which I thought was very progressive. They had a female in this movie discussion space,
mm-hmm.
and then they dropped their show. And now we just found out College Humor just laid off. They dropped all their video at Collider, and then College Humor just dumped 100 people working for them.
Yeah. Yeah,
right,
and it's not the first or second. You know, a couple years ago, Discovery letting go of SourceFed completely closing, Defy closing down their doors. And therefore, Screen Junkies having to find new home, Clever, Smosh, mm-hmm. all of that happening at Nerdist as they've had to let go of half their people as well. We've seen half of Machinima fade away. I mean, all of these major players in the digital space who have had to shut down and let go at least to 50% of their companies. So I'm just curious from you, Kev, because you always seem to be able to predict the future on this stuff. First of all, what's going on? And second of all, how does YouTube and how does this space actually find a way to make it work?
Well, you've all lived a lie, and you haven't, Rox, because you've listened to me. Much like your Christ, Michael. There was only so many that listened to him. But I told you all from the beginning that all of their business practices were fiscally irresponsible. And as they undermined us here and they lured away talent and did all those things, which we let them. I didn't care because I knew there was other talent that would come in here. I just remember saying, like, they are all living off of someone else's money. So they're not making the money they were never making the money to support those infrastructures. And I always say, like, it would be like if you had, let's say you had a flower shop and next to it you owned a pizza shop. And, oh, no, it's not a flower shop. Let's start from the beginning. You have an extension cord shop. That's all you do is specialize in the finest extension cords in the world.
Big market.
Big market. Huge. Next door you get the pizza shop. So this goes on for 5 years, but really what's supporting those businesses? The pizza shop. So the money you're making at the pizza shop is supporting the extension cord business. So with a lot of them, they had other businesses that were supporting them. And then they would get tons of hedge fund capital that would come in. Or they'd have other big, big mama bear corporations that owned them. And it was, and then you have all these morons who are spending someone else's money. So you have all these, like, you know, smartest guys in the room. What do they care? They just get this giant budget. $1 million, $500,000, $2 million, $10 million, $20 million, whatever. And they go, oh, I'll spend it on this, I'll spend it on that, I'll hook up my friends, all fat salaries for everybody, and just no plan whatsoever. We live in a time where no one pays for anything. And I keep telling you guys, for content, that everyone keeps depending on the 50-year-old to the 80, 90-year-old to support all of this. And it's just the bottom is going to just continue to crumble and fall out because, you know, we're now at the point where consumer behavior doesn't even think, the new generation doesn't even think that they're getting something for free. They're like, no, bitch, this is mine. I'm supposed to be able to see this without paying for it. Whereas we knew we were stealing. Like, we knew. It was like, now it's gone. So, again, I only deal with what is. But you cannot be doing this high-end production and be expecting that you're going to get a return on your money. So you have to find new ways to make these things work. And none of them did. You know, none of them did. They were never thinking ahead. And like I said, they were just lighting money on fire and all being the cool ones. And, you know, and I, like I said, a lot of them were smeared in our faces over here. I was like, okay, you know what? You all know better than me. You know, and like I said, I don't know how much longer will last, but it's not going to be because of that. It's just because I'm tired, and you know, Maria, like it's hard. You know, we it's hard to manage all this. But I've always said from the beginning, not to bring it back to us, we're the best bet in the long run. You know, because we put out a massive amount of content. We work really hard to take care of our talent. We work hard to promote our talent. We work hard to see our talent go on and succeed in other places. You know, we don't have people in bathrooms crying, Roxy. We don't have all the Me Too stuff going on. We don't have any, and we never did for 10 years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when those places want to start working on that stuff, then they'll start seeing success. And I see a lot of the even big podcasts out there in audio that are phenomenal. Like, I just heard one, I want to say, Mobituaries. It's fantastic. I think, Steph, we were talking about this, right? It's fantastic.
So good.
Then I hear the credits, and it was, he listed 18 people. Yeah. Who worked on it, and then three companies. There's no way. Like, I don't know how you can support that infrastructure. That's a lot on the just the money that comes in. So we have to find new ways to monetize this, but it's about being much smarter about how the content is produced. I think it's more partnerships with talent, but even with that, talent today can make their own content and directly monetize on their own, which I love. Which is what I'm pushing everyone at AfterBuzz for at the end of the day. I love that. What are my two favorite words put together, Rox?
Free?
It's a single word, but my two favorite words put together. Maybe you don't know this one.
I don't know.
No boss.
Oh, I didn't know that one. Yes.
I like leaders.
Free pussy.
Yeah, well, that's the second.
Okay.
It's never free, though.
Yeah, that's the problem.
It's never free.
No boss.
No boss. So anyway, so all right.
I love
so you got
you
me.
Said that. No boss.
No boss. Leaders, not bosses, because bosses are just they just want to boss people around and they're not interested in your best interests. It's most of the times theirs. But anyway, like Roxanne, like you literally walk into work and did you guys get is that off topic? Like
no, I can talk about it.
How it was handled?
So, yeah, I walked in. So there will be more things that I think will come out about this in the fall, in the coming weeks, as there have been a couple other stories that have happened that I can debrief you guys on. But when I left in December, I thought I was coming back to, for sure, a job. We had had conversations, yeah. and I thought my job was actually expanding. And then when I got back on January 2nd, I went in for my first day, and I came in. Hair, makeup ready, woke up at 6, got ready, had an entire show prepped, had a guest booked. And I went in that morning, 9:20-ish, sat down, opened my laptop, and one of the guys who worked there said, can I just talk to you for a quick second? And I said, okay. I went into his office. I said, should I close the door? He said, no worries. And then, I was let go. Which was, I shouldn't have been as surprised, I guess, now looking at reading the tea leaves, but I was shocked.
Well, I think the handling in that way is kind of shocked.
Yeah, but I was shocked.
Happy New Year. Come to the office. Yeah. Well, drive 90 minutes.
Okay, so there's a flip side to that, too. There's a flip side to, I've known people that were called on the phone, but then they're offended on that,
they
too.
They didn't get brought
it's
in.
It's a phone call, like you should be... But I think
I agree.
I think the right way would have been all of you in a room, in a meeting with, probably the person who made the decision to stop it.
Right. He was he was in Florida. So he
again,
wasn't there.
It's just, you have to make that work. You know what I mean? It's like this is people's lives.
I think, they said that they had made the decision very close to that time. I think that I would like to think they gave me as much time as they could. And I have no hatred or anger or resentment. Obviously, it's a bummer. But the rest of the story goes that there's been a few different issues. I don't know if you've heard about any of this, Kev.
No, I'm not. I am so removed from the digital talk world.
So then what
if
happened?
If it's not Rogan or Carolla, I'm out.
That was on the Thursday that we found out, and then they put out a press release about an hour later because none of our shows were airing and people were wondering what was happening. Mm-hmm. So I found out about an hour before everybody else did. And then that Saturday they had an event called FYC, For Your Consideration. Scott Mance was hosting it, mm-hmm. and he was interviewing the cast of Irishman with Tarantino.
Yep.
And he put out a great tweet just saying, Tarantino watches my show, but he was upset that I put Irishman as number 6 instead of in this top 5 or something. He was just talking about his own show.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys that works for the company retweeted that and was like, I'm basically said that he's glad that all of the rest of our shows were canceled. He said, I'm glad that we got rid of that fart content and movie discussion when we can be doing better things like this.
That's an executive of the company did that?
People were calling him the number 2. He is not the number 2. I've talked to you about him before. His name is Jack Hind. I can say it publicly because he publicly tweeted and everybody saw. Okay. So the company received a ton of backlash, which is when the fans, they had already turned kind of, but they really turned because I lost a part-time job. 3 people lost their full-time job and benefits the second day of the year. One of them is an editor who has no platform. So it's not like these other 2, John Rocha and Mark Riley, who also lost their jobs. They have YouTubes that they're going to, and they're trying to make up extra income. Adam Smith has a life to live and bills to pay and no health insurance now, and it's the second day of the year. So, to people like that, putting out a tweet was incredibly, obviously, disrespectful. Mm-hmm. And then he just started going on the attack. And
yeah, of course, the low, that's what today's world is about.
Yeah,
attack first.
So a lot of people responded to that. People from the company who had been being kind then went at him. And so to yesterday, Mark Fernandez, who's the head of the company, did a video, an hour and a half video called Collider Town Hall, in which he did a live stream from, ironically, from the Collider Live studio and wanted to address everybody's concerns. There were thousands of people watching. And he was talking about everything. In the middle of the stream, he got a text message about the creator of Ugly Betty, who was a very close friend of his, who committed suicide.
Oh, Jesus.
And so he just started, like, weeping in the middle of the stream, took a two-minute break, and came back to answer questions. So it's been a really strange series of events.
It all just sounds so strange.
It's been a...
And I feel like it's because now we just have this... This is what we get for having really an uncouth... Not that it was any better, I suppose, with really polished, educated suits. But at the same time, I don't know if I'd see a suit tweeting out, yeah, that's all fart content. Do you know
and
what
that,
I mean?
It's that just guy's a kid. He's like 23 or something, but he's very high in the company.
Again, only in this world
would somebody today, be that age.
Yeah, because we have so much content. We have so much going on. And then even the other guy killing himself is just, that's... It's become kind of become that's an epidemic now. Everyone is just
the suicide rate is higher than it's
it
ever been.
It just keeps going. And it just the anxiety levels and.
But it also shows you like the things that actually matter in life. And I felt for Mark Fernandez in that moment. I went into the live chat. I super chatted to him just to let him know that I was watching and in support of the company. Still, I still have a lot of friends over there, and I really hope that they do well and that this new direction is okay for them.
Listen, I get cutting bait. I get it. It's just not him. This didn't handle it right.
I think that that's what the fans seem to be upset about the most, that they aren't as mad that the shows are gone as much as they got no final shows. They didn't. Yeah. They were not spoken to. But the town hall was interesting. He said that he thinks he's botched this. And
that's
he was like,
that's
you guys
big.
Seem to think I have. Maybe I have. I think maybe I did. I really don't know how to handle this stuff. It was interesting to watch. It was really interesting to watch. I felt for him.
I think there's like Tony Robbins always has that statement: life is happening for you, not to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know 1,000,000% just knowing what you have up your sleeve, what you had up your sleeve in terms of your own work outside of discussion, that now you're going to finally have more time to do so many other things. So I think I was, when you told me, other than the way they handled it, I was like, you're fine. Sam said the same thing. Like, I think this is a better thing for
me
you
too.
To build your own brand and be doing your own stuff.
I will say that the support has been unbelievable. Yeah. I'm almost at 20,000 subscribers on my YouTube now.
How which about that, Dr.
Is
Phil?
Really great. I was at 6 point something before this all happened. So. We're growing a lot. It's been awesome. The amount of support that I've gotten from the fans of not just fans from Collider, but that are supporters of me has been really incredible. And I think everybody knows I moved out here to be an actress and a writer. And I made ACT my word of the year for a reason.
Yep.
And I really want to make these projects, and I want to make enough money to survive, but also to make my own work. And I know that this is the 2020 gods or whatever you believe in being like, this is not what we wanted for you.
Maria 100% was like, this is the
it's
best
the second
thing.
Day of the decade.
Roxy
like,
was going to get sick if she continued to work at the pace she was working at and with the people she was working with. And this is from Maria, and she was like, this is so great for her. And this is totally the universe protecting her.
Yeah, let's hope that.
No hope. It is. Rejection
I knew you were
going to
say that as it was coming out of my mouth.
Yeah.
But
no
I know you don't hope. I do hope. I really...
No need to hope because I know. That's what I'm saying. I don't have to hope. I know. Listen, that's the nice thing about being 70 years old. You know these things.
And I do want to give a quick shout out to our amazing Brandy because Brandy is... For you guys who know her as Beely1130 in our Tomorrow Show chat, that's how I met her was through Tomorrow Show, and she is now my channel moderator. And like,
when
I tell you that I go to Brandy for everything, like Brandy and I are messaging each other
all
nonstop all day. I'm like, if somebody comes in my chat and says Brandy is She is unbelievable.
Well, that's Boston,
she's
baby.
Everything.
That's Boston.
She gives me advice, this tips, good Bo- tricks.
We call
do
that
this. Don't
good
do
Boston.
It's
that's
like
what we call good
so
Boston.
Badass. And she's found other mods. She suggests people. Like, I'm just obsessed with her. I love her. I know that Jeff Graham got the honor of meeting her before I did, which makes me feel very envious of Jeff.
And Jeff,
she's the best.
Curious,
and Haley.
Jeff, I'm curious.
Right? No way.
Yes, Jeff yeah. and Haley. And I'm curious, Jeff and Haley. How did you come to meet her?
Oh, so this is. Equally important to Brandy is Christmas Con.
Yes. On behalf of what?
There. Yes.
On behalf of the Christmas 24/7, only on AfterBuzz TV.
Thank you.
But I did. I will echo what Roxy's saying. It's sometimes you get nervous meeting your online heroes in person, and Brandy was great in person, too. And we love you, Brandy.
She's awesome. She's awesome. And yep. She has. I seriously could not have gotten my channel where I am without her.
It's amazing.
And so I just so grateful.
Projection is protection. And there's a lot of other Collider talent that's doing this now, too. And they've seen their followings rise. And they're going to be able to make as much money, but with the freedom and not having people yell at them and scream at them and all the stupid stuff that goes on there and all the other places that's totally unnecessary, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a time. I always say, like, sure, if someone's being disrespectful, if someone's, like, drunk, hungover, whatever, or just being a jerk, okay, you know, believe me, I'm all a fan of, like, grabbing them by the ear and going, hey, cut the shit. But
I don't know exactly what you're talking about.
I'm talking about when people misbehave as employees. Like, yes, there's a time and a place to reprimand people. But I've seen with Maria the amount of times that I've just seen talent screamed at by these freaking, you know, loser producers. It's like who don't even really know what they're talking about anyway. But the fact that they're screaming and yelling and making people cry over what?
Yeah, well, I'm not saying that about this place, but I do know that that does happen in other places.
Yes.
And so having no boss eliminates that possibility.
Well, I'm saying is because I've heard it from people that work at that place, and I was telling you that, like, when I see a 23-year-old tweet, you know, that it's fart content, when other people, you know, people have lost their jobs, it's like that makes me realize, okay.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah, it was really not legitimate of him. He sent me an apology text that I appreciated.
That's fine.
Because you want to know what? Like, everybody else
is
still mad.
I don't knock him. Why is a 23-year-old deputized like that? You know, Ford and Ferrari, first Ferrari, you probably still haven't seen it.
I still haven't seen it.
Oh, great movie.
Right? Amazing. But there was something, it was great because they made a very subtle statement about middle manager types in the movie. And I'm telling you, right? And
oh, so good.
Right? And without giving it away, but I have found that a lot of middle managers are angry that they're not the manager, and they take it out on everyone they work with. And so even this new year, Mike, remember in our meeting, I said, guys, I just want you to know, like, for middle managers here, we're not having that here. Okay? You're going to be nice to everybody. You're going to be a big brother or a big sister to people that come in this place. That's it.
Like, well, I think a lot of that, you know, too, is it's a lack of trust of you're not being seen. So you feel like you have to do something to be seen.
That's it.
And it's like, no.
And so when think about that, it's like they especially hammer talent because talent's being featured and seen.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere in them, they think they should be the stars. So they're angry. So this is what they have to do.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what? If you can go the other way and be the champion of the star, that's how you'll become the star.
Yep. Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but everyone in LA has a headshot, whether you're a writer, a producer.
Everybody. Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of the joke. I know someone who works at a late night show in town. I won't say which one, but as a prank, they put up everyone's headshot on the Wall of Fame. So it's like, here's the stage manager's headshot in the grip.
That's
and
amazing.
It's pretty funny.
Oh,
that is pretty.
That's LA, man.
I love LA. All right. What are we talking about next,
I
kids?
I do, too. Well, Kev, what do you feel like? What are you in the mood for? You want to get to some news, or do you want to?
Oh, I'm interested in the Tom Brady situation.
Well, it's like a lack of news that is news. So.
Well, what would you like to? I don't think is news. I think this is discussion of your Patriots
fans.
No,
let's bring in don't bring in the music, Jeff, because I think that's a big discussion.
Yeah,
but I think there is news.
For anybody who doesn't know, in the wild card game, the Patriots brutally lost to the Titans.
Yep.
It was a really tough day to be a New England fan. And
not for me, it wasn't.
That has not happened to us since 2009. Yeah, so in a really long time. But we've had a great 20 years
and
so
by the
far.
Way, and then, right, and then what happened for all the years after 2009?
Yeah, it was amazing. An amazing last couple of decades. But the conversation, even prior to this game, had been about, A, whether Tom Brady is going to continue to play in the NFL in general, and B, if Tom Brady does play, whether he will play for the Patriots or another team as a free agent, would he go, possibly the conversation on the table is to San Diego, I mean to the Chargers, who are going to be in L.A., which is probably beneficial to him and his career moving forward to live over here. I had also heard rumors about him going to the Jets because stick it to the Patriots. There's a lot of
conversations. Colts have an opening.
Yeah. There's been a ton of talk about where he would go, but I would say that the Chargers are seem to be the number one on the table right now.
Giselle would probably like
want
the
that.
Life out here as well.
Yeah, and because you have to think, wherever they play, that's where they spend the most of
their
time.
She's been a good sport.
Yeah. Yeah,
she's been a really good sport.
Especially
to
when
be out in the
in
middle
their,
of nowhere
in their team, Kev, she makes more money than he does.
Yep.
So it's pretty good sport to
she's
be doing
really
that when
sport.
She. I wouldn't say she's right. the breadwinner, but
she's right. paid.
Let's start from the beginning about how I think so many sports casters are overrated. So, first of all, you start knocking Brady for being old and all this other stuff. He had no one to pass to. If you go look and see, like nobody's open. Okay, he lost his center to block for him. It's not like he was any kind of scrambler anyway. He sacked more time this year. He had no protection. But so for me, it wasn't an age thing.
And we still went, 12 and 14?
I mean, right?
12 and 4.
Exactly. And then you can the knock is, well, the Patriots didn't give him the players. Well, they tried. They tried Antonio Brown, and the NFL said, go ahead.
I think I saw something that said it was either September, I think it was October 7th. It said, here's the offensive weapons for the Patriots. And it was like Antonio Brown, Josh Gordon,
right.
like Edelman.
Yeah.
It was like,
yeah.
Holy
Edelman
cow.
Was really beat up. And I swear to God, he's squinting more and more. I think he's
losing.
I'm sure he's been hit in the head so many times. I mean, he's still fantastic. But the point is, and then I think.
Gronk.
And you lost Gronk. Yeah. And I think the play calling was really off at the end. I think Josh McDaniel was. Either he's burnt out or he's just he was overthinking it because of everything that happened. So I think
I heard a crazy stat too that against former players of his, people who have played under Belichick,
it's 14
now he's 14 and 14.
Yeah,
which is
how it should be because he's trained and mentored those guys, so they learned under his amazing system and good for them. I root for all those guys.
Yeah, me too.
So I mean to me.
Do you want him back, Kev?
Of course. And you retool.
100%.
Yeah, and I think you retool and they're
100%?
100%.
Oh, yeah. Look at the shortage of quarterbacks in the league.
Not only do I still think he's great, I think that to watch Tom Brady in a Chargers uniform would break my heart.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to that subject then. So the next, it's easy to say.
He'll be back somewhere.
Yeah, because as soon as he threw the last interception, I got to go to the bathroom. I was like, okay, now he's coming back. There's no way this guy is ending his career throwing. No, no. So
yeah,
he'll be
back. Go out like Kobe if when he retires. He'll probably have an epic last game.
Or at the very least, I think again because he hasn't lost much because he didn't have much to begin with.
I don't think it was a really bad game.
No, I'm just curious if that's why everyone's shitting on him because
it
seems undeserved.
Boston fans are tough.
But I think it's more than Boston. I think the national fans. It's like,
statistically, his stats are down the last 3 years. There's been a gradual decline, steep the last 3 years.
I agree. I don't think he's in his prime.
But who's he really? Even still, he had Gronk, which was great, and he had Edelman. But it's Randy Moss. Like we haven't had a star wide receiver, Mike. And I think Josh Gordon. Sad. I think physically that guy was a phenom, but he got overserved.
To quote Stephen A., stay off the weed.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think he'll be fine no matter where he goes. The question is, will he stay in New England? And, I don't know, but I will say.
What would you advise him, Kevin?
I would say you've got to stay because if you look at literally every player that's done that at the end of the career, it's been a fail. Not one that I know. Steve the Steamer was better with stats than me.
He's in the chat.
Steve asked, Steamer is. Has anyone left at the end of their careers?
Yes.
What about
Dwayne
Wade?
So there's
and
two
been
of them,
successful?
Two of them have done it.
Who?
The Manning when he was cut by the Colts and
went
to the Broncos.
It wasn't the end of his career, though.
Super Bowl. It was the last two or three years.
But no, but he was – nobody was thinking he was old, Mike. He was a big free agent. No. That last year, he was – he had the chicken arm. He was gone. Nobody thought of him as over the hill. Well, he was a high commodity.
No, because he was coming back from a neck injury. Right. He was coming back from a serious. And they're like, I don't know if he'll be able to play.
But he was younger too. He was in his 30s. Like,
And the other one that I can think of in recent memory is Favre, who had one really solid year with the Vikings. He had a crappy year with.
But again, Mike, your memory is Green
with
Bay.
The Jets.
You're not remembering him with those teams.
No, so he had a crappy year with the Jets.
He did decent, but he didn't win any Super Bowls.
Crappy first year with the Vikings, and then his second year with the Vikings, I think, was the last year.
I know, but Steamer and Matthew Gould both say Joe Montana.
And then,
but even Joe Montana, he went to Kansas City, guys, and he got knocked out in the second round of the playoffs. Like, so it's like again, and Joe, and I will tell you right now. Let me just continue to do my name dropping that everyone loves so much. But I'm on our tennis court one year at a party, and I'm with Gretzky, and I said to him, you know, I was really moved by your 30 for 30, and you said that in the 30 for 30 that if you had stayed with the Edmonton Oilers as opposed to going to the LA Kings, you would have won 5 more titles. I said, is that true? He said, absolutely. I said, do you think about it a lot? And he said to me, every day.
Sure. I'm sure
every day. Yep. So financially, it was a great move for him and his wife and whatever. But as time goes on, listen, going to sound crazy, I know, but money comes and goes. And a lot of people can make money, but very few people can do those kind of achievements like win another 5 titles or like at the end of the end. And I also will tell you from a business perspective, I was thinking this, other than Talib, and again, Steve the Steamer will probably have these, and so will you, Mike. Other than Talib, the people who've left the Patriots, Woodhead, think of all these guys. Like, for like maybe another $300,000 or $400,000 a year for another 2 or 3 year contract, had they stayed, it would have been the better bet. They would have won more titles. And then when you think of speeches and businesses you build in the future, that's all far more valuable. And even if it isn't, most athletes will say, Bruce Hurst, this is way before your time, he was a Red Sox pitcher. And he left us to go to San Diego. And another one, biggest mistake of my life.
Of course.
Should have just stayed. And rather than go for a bigger, fatter contract, I should have stayed.
Well, and I was giving you a softball. I wasn't giving you a softball because I want to be able to challenge you to really see what your thoughts are. I think there's no question he'll be back.
To the Patriots?
No, I don't know. Yeah. So
Here's the way I look at it, of even from a Patriots perspective. I was talking to my dad 2 days ago or yesterday about this. I said the smart move for both sides is to bring him back on a 1 or 2 year contract, and you draft someone good, and you did what Rodgers did under Favre, or you know what Garoppolo did under Brady.
By the way,
you learn
they don't need
for
your
a
advice,
year or two,
but they don't need your.
Yeah,
advice.
Of course,
that's exactly what they're going to do because they're all brilliant. I think what Tom's doing, and he's entitled to do it. I think he's posturing a little bit.
Due diligence.
Because he's, first of all, it's nice to be courted and mystery and people asking questions. But I think it's a little message to them. He loves the crafts, but I know him and Bill, it's a lot where, like, for Bill, it's like, because you had Brady. And for Brady, it's like, well, you had Bill. So there's like.
They're probably both tired of hearing that.
And, you know, and they have not been on the same page creatively. And I think that Bill did the natural thing of wanting Garoppolo. More than likely, that was his plan. And by the way, was he not right? That was his plan, and then, you know, Kraft probably stepped in and said, no, this is my, like, fourth son, or how many sons he has. Like, we're keeping him. So this is good leverage to say, hey, are you guys going to step up and put a team together? Are you going to – I think it's a posture, and he's entitled to do that. I mean, Stern, Howard does it literally every single contract year, and every single year
LeBron.
For the last 40 years, they buy it.
Look at LeBron.
Every time.
2 things. Number 1.
But LeBron's jumped around. Howard just stays in series. Like, I think I'm going to retire. Yeah. No, Howard. And they fall for it every time. Like, no. Or maybe I'll just start putting it on my phone and do my own independent thing. I'm not so sure. And then in comes the Brinks truck.
Yeah. Number 1, I got overserved with Garoppolo. Did I tell you guys that?
And
what?
Did he make the move on you? He is one handsome young man.
This is when he was
good-looking guinea, McKenzie.
This is when he was on the Patriots. This is at Bungalow, which is my second Bungalow experience with Patriots players.
Okay.
Prior to that, with Edelman sending me and my 10 guy friends a bottle because they were all wearing Sox hats and Patriots hats and Celtics hats. And they, it was Ridley, Edelman, and they all sent me and my all of my dude friends a bottle and came over to drink with us. And then the second time was with Garoppolo, same bar. I was with all my girlfriends, and he was definitely doing his little flirty thing, and he was so cute. But he nobody at the bar knew who he was. Because he was...
At that time, yeah, I know.
I just knew who he was because I love the Patriots. But literally not one person was talking to him. And I went right up to him and I was like, hey, I'm from Boston. And he was like, you know who I am? And I was like...
Yeah, he's such a sweet... That's exactly who he is.
It's hysterical.
We're Facebook friends. And like, he was like, hey, is there any... I know there's a lot of New England fans, but any San Francisco fans here? Like when he got traded?
Yeah.
It was so funny.
So funny. He had he was shocked that we knew who he was. So that was number one. Number two, not Sam Miguel in the super chat. Thank you so much for getting Sam to and from work. Brady to the XFL in 2020.
I love that idea. Yeah, that's awesome.
You think any shot?
I love it.
No.
Yeah, why not?
Because like, let him Miguel. Do his Uggs commercial. Let him make movies.
Wait, is that the...
Garoppolo, yeah. Hot, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He looks like Noah Centineo.
Oh, yeah. No, he's like,
is there
he's
any part of you, Roxy or Kev, or the other ladies who we haven't really heard from?
Yeah, they don't really speak much.
They don't really talk much.
Haley and McKenzie. Little shy.
But definitely not Steph.
I actually can't stand you today.
And is there any thought that you wish they had kept Garoppolo?
I think about the fact that I am forever grateful to Brady, so all I care about is appreciating and respecting his legacy. Obviously, having Garoppolo would set up our future for success. But I think about the 20 years as a Patriots fan I had, the last two decades I had.
Of championships.
Of what I had, and I can't... I've had the being a Boston fan for since I have been able to understand what it's to be has been the best. I saw the Celtics win.
I saw
the Red Sox win, and I saw in person and the Patriots win. Thank you to our very own Kevin Undergaro and Maria Menounos. There's nothing like that in the world. So
yeah.
I don't care.
So that's a no.
So I wish they kept him in terms of the future, but no, I don't look back like that.
Kev.
No, I'm happy for Jimmy that he needed to go spread his wings. And I'm with Roxy. You know, I'd rather just be loyal, let him go out like an old gunslinger. And, but again, would I say that if we didn't have Belichick? I'm not so sure.
Did you remember when that happened with Favre and Rodgers and that was the decision?
Of course, all of it.
How is it looking from the outside? Because that's what I'm looking at now
again,
with the Patriots from the outside.
But you didn't have Belichick and Kraft.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
So when you have
when
you have that year they went 11-5 without Brady, and the NFL breathed a sigh of relief that we that one year, even with that record, we should have made it into the playoffs and we didn't get in. If we had gotten in, we would have won the Super Bowl with Matt fucking Castle. And if that didn't tell the world about Bill Belichick and Kraft and how smart that organization is. So for
Kev, how long do you think Belichick's in the game for?
That's the bigger thing. And you got to hope his son and all those people under him are being trained properly.
Yeah.
Because that's a bigger thing is Belichick. And but I will tell you, he's up the game so much for all other coaches.
He's
which,
only 67.
Once
he's
you
got
break
two or three.
Once you break the 4-minute mile, then every you know what I mean. Like he's taught so many teams now how to do this and how to win. I think I will tell you one of the other wonderful things about millennial and Gen Z culture.
Tell us.
I think if you in sports, I think if you are a betting man, bet on the coach. Forget the players. Bet on the coach.
Because, remember when we loved Rick Pitino so much and then he left and
by the
we
way,
were like...
No. He would today... Again, I don't know how he could speak to millennials, but you need... Today, like a Brad Stevens, Celts are good because of him. When you had, you know, a bad millennial on the team, get rid... You know what I mean? You had the big superstars? No, go. But you get, like, in millennial culture, get the good ones, the good kids who just want to work hard, and the smart coach, and you figure it out. And all the other ones that are like into their Instagram and their brands or whatever, like they'll get far. But
what do you think, Kevin? When people say about Brady, system quarterback, do you hear that all that? Like I hear all the time.
He's got like ice that goes through his veins. He's so calm.
I have to be honest with you guys.
So I just put a tweet out from the Tomorrow Show, which I think you're going to answer is who has been the most important for the Patriots' success: Tom Brady, Belichick, or Kraft?
That's not what I was going to say. But I will answer that.
The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost.
I think if I had to say who, at the end of the day, I do say Brady. But I think there's an argument to be made about any of them.
I wouldn't say Brady.
You'd say Belichick?
it would be between Belichick and, I have to say, Mr. Kraft. I mean, this guy walks into this team, rocks. Again, no one gives him credit. I've had this discussion with him, too. He walks in and he goes, oh, these red uniforms and this Pat the Patriot. You know what that says to me? Loser. This is a losing organization. By the way, the Clippers are probably the only other organization in all of sports, for major sports teams, that were a bigger fuck-up team as the Patriots. They were the biggest losers, slip on the banana peel, couldn't get out of their own way. I mean, I remember, like, Jim Plunkett was this old quarterback, and one of the reasons why he said he left, he was jogging off the field, and someone threw a lit hibachi grill at his head.
Oh, my God.
The Sullivans took all their money and put it into the Michael Jackson, the Victory Tour concert. Your dad knows this whole story, Roxy, about how messed up of an organization this was. And Kraft comes in and he goes, no, throw all that stuff away. I don't even want to hear about this Steve Grogan guy. We're going to rebrand this team. I want new uniforms. We're going to go in a winning direction. Who's the best coach out there? It's Parcells. All right, bring in Parcells. And by the way, I'm going to let you do your job, Parcells, because you know, not Jerry Jones, who's like, hey, I'm a good coach too. No, you're a great owner, Jerry. You love your team. You want to win, but you're not a great coach.
So do you think Kraft over Belichick?
I don't know. It's between them.
I see.
And I think the Kraft children are being trained very well.
I see it as more like a synchronized dance in a way. Like, Belichick sets them up, and you have to have Brady to carry them. So I don't think I feel like you can't pick one over the other.
That was a great no answer.
Yeah, totally.
No, but you're right, though. You're right.
The reason I say Brady, though, is because, yes, I do. I was between Belichick and Brady, even though I think Kraft's amazing. But the reason I say Brady at the end of the day is because, obviously, I've read his book. Probably most of the people in here have. But I just think the kind of dedication that he had.
Yeah, he's special.
It takes a special person to do what he's done. And we've watched so many other people try. And under Belichick, even if you had a quarterback, if they were not willing to listen, if they were not willing to put in the work.
But he would get somebody.
He would. Belichick would pick smarter. I'm just saying, people who say all the time, I hear, anybody could be under Belichick and be Brady. That is not
ever true. No, I wouldn't say that.
It's not true.
Not for 19 years or
and
whatever.
Yeah,
it's been.
That the amount of time and dedication, what he's done with his body.
And by the way, I don't think Garoppolo will make it that long.
No, nobody makes it that long. This is the only time we'll see what we've seen. But the dedication Brady has to the craft and to Robert Kraft and the craft and what his body is truly a temple to him. It's not something we see.
But if
he
were on the Jets or one of these messy organizations, Rocks, it wouldn't be that way.
And
he might get really beat up because he's not. He moves okay in the pocket, but he's not fast. He's just, again, he just was with a great organization. So
there's such an argument.
McKenzie actually had the right answer, I think. It's just one of those things in time.
I know, but he asked a question. We had to pick one on the Twitter poll. You can only vote for one.
I have to pick one, I would pick Brady, for sure, for every reason that you said. I mean,
I know Mike's not picking Brady.
Not
Mike, go ahead, weigh in.
He doesn't even think he's the best quarterback of all time.
You're asking
how do you even argue that?
I know, it's insane.
That is the craziest argument.
The system. Hands down, that's why I say, I think the answer is Belichick. Because I think Belichick wins, and you put a different. Because here's the thing:
best quarterback is again?
It's the Rodgers statistically, hands down, beats everyone in every single category.
Kevin, did you know that Rodgers statistically is the best?
Because you look at it, and it's win shares. Yeah. So you're looking at win shares of if you replace one person, how much would you wins drop or lose?
Kev, what color is the sky?
Blue.
Because Michael says it's pink. Okay. So, because statistically,
you know how statistically
I think Rodgers is great. I think the argument's more Russell Wilson. But Pete Carroll's not really geared toward offense, so he kind of sticks.
Russell
him out
Wilson
there.
Has the legs that the other quarterbacks don't, and which is why the new age with Mahomes Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, who have really high passer ratings and touchdown interception.
But let's see
kind of
longevity with those guys.
Very true. But so I'm looking at you. Looking at win shares. If you replace Brady with a different quarterback. How would you do? Replace Belichick with a different coach. How would you do? We already saw replace Brady. You went 11-5. So he's not missed as much as if you would take Belichick off that team. That's why I have to say Belichick.
I like Drew Bledsoe, actually.
I do too.
He put up good stats.
That's why I say you have to say Belichick, and that's why I say Brady's not the greatest.
All right, let's end sports
Brady
talk.
Brady sucks, I agree.
All right.
Let me re-enter this conversation.
Yes,
I'm ready.
Go ahead. All right, yes.
Oh, were you like a D1 athlete or something?
Actually am the only one in this room.
Who's a D1 athlete? I know.
But knows nothing about
you just must have been so
sport.
Good at sports.
I was.
Right? And without trying?
I played D3.
I tried.
If that counts as anything.
No, actually, sure Mackenzie was a great athlete.
This is the annoying thing, though, about both of you guys. Your effing legs, which you don't have to work out at all, and they look like you guys are still effing crazy athletes. So that's the annoying part. Mm-hmm. Right, Kev?
Did you see, switching up for something else, did you see the picture that Steve Nash posted on Twitter yesterday? You would love that. Jeff, can you pull up Kevin
Nash?
When
did we get back to
Kevin
sports?
Nash. Kevin Nash. Well, wrestling.
Oh, Kevin,
Nash. Nash's, his knee, he posted a picture like slamming the haters yesterday or 2 days ago, and it's on his Twitter, Jeff.
Oh,
where he did
no.
a comparison, dude. And he's like, for all y'all who hated on me for retiring, my legs, I was literally crippled. It's taken 2 years, and he showed like a progress pic. His leg was like this, bent in. It was crazy to see. That's the pic right there, Jeff, where you look at his right leg bent inwards. And
I
he
feel like,
like
I shouldn't be looking at this.
It was nuts. Yeah, sorry. No. Leg talk of athletes.
By the way, he's in his 60s and he's jacked.
Yes.
Yeah. Jacked. By you the know way, who looks like that? My dad.
Funniest.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's jacked.
Jacked. I have so much respect for people who are jacked in their 60s because watching what he's had to do to maintain as he got older. I mean, sorry, that's not what we're talking about, but just the fact that he was able to rehab himself and build
at that age
it's so different than anything.
I know, poor Steph is the one that has to shoot in my ass, right?
Right,
unfortunately. So I'm sorry
that is
that
awful,
but that's why
look
I say jacked. I know, right? Okay, let's go to the next one. What else? So what would you rather talk about, Harry and Meghan?
So, yeah, a couple of big news stories. Harry and Meghan, no Oscars, or the entire possible World War III.
I got to be honest.
No Oscars, good. Let's have another boring show. Let's have ratings go down even further. What else?
I want to talk about the British people, because I don't really get it. To be, like, I don't mean to sound stupid.
The setup of it?
Yeah, I don't really get what it means.
So they are basically resigning from being part of the royal family.
I get that.
So
okay. What does it mean? What are the implications?
They don't have to go to... So part of what the taxes pay for is for the royal family to show up to events, whether it's charity events, government events, political events, whatever it is, they're basically there to just represent the country at all times. So a lot of people from the country have had problems with Meghan because she just won't go to events, but then we'll go to the Lion King premiere and they're like, you're not doing proper roles, and then on top of the dragging that she's been having in general. So now they don't have to do any of those events. They're not tied to that.
Do you think it's bigger than that with the entire royal family and the Queen and Harry and Meghan?
Yeah. I think it's collapsing.
100%. There's been a lot of rumors that the Queen and Meghan have been like this with the way they're raising their kid, and like, I don't know, is it vegan or they're not, like Harry won't hunt anymore with the family. And
I've talked to Yasmin about this. She's an afterbuzzer who's from England, and I was like, what's the deal? Why does everyone hate her? I don't get it. And she was just saying she's the first to just not do any of the traditions at all. And it just is, yeah.
So, you know, my wife happens to be, like, you know, kind of in that world. And from what we gather, Meghan is...
Did she know Meghan when she was...
I think so. Acquaintance.
On Suits.
But very... Meghan's very American in the respect that she loves her family, kind, almost like Maria. Like, loves family, loves normal life, loves normalcy. And all of that is too much and was doing a lot of damage to her in terms of anxieties and things like that. And it's just kind of like, why do I need this? And he genuinely loves her. And he's like, you're right, why do I need it? And the reason that they can say this, guys, I'll give you the business end of it. There's more money to make outside of the crown. And that's why, like, we want to become financially independent. They'd said that in there, but... You know how much money those two, like stupid money, that those two can make away from the crown and be completely independent and have an amazing life? Like the dad, if you think of Prince Charles, he couldn't have done that 30 years ago financially. You know what I mean?
Are their lives right now financially bad, though?
No, like, no, but they're dependent, Mike, on the crown. And so, you
that's
know.
That's their job.
That's their job. And then, you know, don't think that they're not answering to Mama Bear, Papa Bear. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
there's
of
course. A lot of bullshit. And I just think it's like, I just think it's, we don't need this.
Can I ask you this part,
yeah,
though?
What?
Why did she marry a prince?
She was probably in love with him.
Yeah, but she knew he was a prince
again,
and she went.
You all, listen, Rox, you are, you know, you think everything through.
Yeah.
To the point I'm that nausea. You are, thank you, somewhat makes other people nauseous.
Yeah,
not me.
I get it.
I love it. But I'm just saying, the rest of the civilians, Rox, we don't. We just go.
I understand, like, loving, right? Who you love. Trust me, I get it. But she fell in love with him. Knowing he was the prince.
Okay,
it's not
but,
like
but
this
also,
is one of those
yeah.
stories but where it's like, and then he
said, I don't
said,
think
okay,
she knew
but that's
that
right.
he was the prince.
We,
no,
know
I don't think she
rules.
Knew that she was going to get into the situation and she was going to hate it as much as she did to
no
the point
Instagram,
where she wanted to get out.
Certain nail
right.
color.
She was probably like, you know
why
what?
She that
was
it.
You and me tonight. We're agreeing on
okay,
this.
But wait, guys. Here's the thing. I just Joe Gear runs our security. He did security for us in Vegas at CES last night. We had this talk and he was like, Kevin, you take for granted, you think people outside understand Maria's life in Hollywood, the daily life. So from the outside, whatever that understanding would be, let's say Maria just, I died, Maria started dating someone else and he's an outsider. And he's going to think like, oh, wow, she's hot, she's beautiful, and famous, that sounds cool, and she has money. Like, and then he's in, and he's like, what? Like, they don't know. So how would Megan know?
Because she was famous. She had a
yeah,
little
but
bit
no,
of
no,
life.
This is different, you guys. The, yeah. the royals is a whole different scam.
I just think you have to, and this is not it's a like, shot at Megan, but you have to be a little dim. To think
I would not know. Mackenzie would
I
know.
Think I was going to say, I think
Haley would know.
I think she thought she could handle it. I think she literally thought that, oh, that's cool. Like, they do
yeah,
it. And
yeah.
she didn't
think
work.
Too far
you,
into
you,
it.
You couldn't
you know?
Know from the outside, Roxy. Yeah. Saying, you might because you're Roxy, but the rest of us wouldn't know.
I
you,
think
you only guess.
Very
I think she thought she could change things. And she went in there and they were royals and like,
Roxy.
No, we have our traditions. You are a Biden. She was like, oh, crap.
And by the
okay.
way,
okay.
British,
I'm out.
It's the
British
exact
people
same
are
thing.
Very snobby, too. I'm just saying. Oh, I've had them come in here and no, and try
all
to do
them,
business.
Everyone
when they the British people I've dealt with in Hollywood, every one of them has been like, oh, you Americans. They laugh at us.
It's
like,
the exact
you know, they're the smart ones. We're the dummies. And I'm like, okay, that's right, because the BBC makes way more than Hollywood does.
It's the exact
Sorry.
Same thing as thinking your whole life, I want to be so famous, I want to be so famous. You get famous, and you're like,
yeah,
whoa.
Exactly.
Never mind.
Thank you, Mackenzie.
Didn't
for
realize.
But
it.
I don't get people like that.
Why? In what
That's
way?
So
what do you not get?
Why didn't you realize?
What do you mean? It's so the fame. It's so fun. Everybody loves me. Everybody wants to see me. Did you? But they didn't realize that when you go to a coffee shop, you can't just go to a coffee shop.
Why
and sit
didn't
down.
They realize that?
They probably realized that.
Because
at
I
first,
get
like, it's cool.
When child stars were up and coming, right? Like, the Lindsay Lohan generation, where it was, like, the first time where people were being, like, actually followed. Or as Instagram was coming, as Twitter was coming, the first time people were actually being followed. But now, we've had years of this. How do you not know that?
Have you never, like, wanted to do something and then retracted it? Like, didn't want to do it anymore? Like playing a sport?
So, Rox, you've never had... you every situation you've entered, you had a full idea. Your
I've
expectations
never quit
were...
one thing in my entire
life. Well, I'm not
life.
Saying whether or not you quit.
No.
But are you
Rox,
saying you had a very crystal clear,
Rox.
Perfectly accurate vision of every expectation situation you've entered?
I'll give you an example.
I can't
me.
Think of one.
Rox,
I have.
You have
but
Jewish dragon's
clear,
blood. It's different.
Not backed away from it. Like, even Jeff. So, for example, like, take a company like Collider, right? Did I know that I was going to lose my job? No. So I guess I didn't have clear expectations. But I didn't leave. Like, I've never gone for something, gotten what I wanted, and then been like, actually, that was not what I thought, and now I have to dip.
So
question, Rox. Do you think, and this is a question I was asking myself, and I don't know if I have the answer, do you think she's being selfish?
I don't think selfish is the right word. I think it's strange behavior.
We're missing one thing, though. They did just have a kid. That changes everything.
But you knew...
Didn't change
not
it
to
for
Roxy.
William.
You knew you were going to have a kid.
But you don't know how you're going to feel when
yeah.
you have
William,
a kid.
William and Kate
leaned
into it.
Everything.
Jeff Graham, nothing from you.
No, I totally get this, to be honest. I think, you know what? They're the types of people, and I get this, that their marriage meant more than their careers. Like, when you start a family, everything changes. And I actually admire them for putting their love above the crown.
I do, too.
I don't mind that they stepped away. do what you guys want to do. I'm just surprised that they were surprised by this situation. Like,
she's the best. She's surprised that they're surprised.
How do you know she was? How do you know she was surprised?
Because of everything that they've said.
You don't think they could have maybe planned this when they got married and said, you know, we'll do this for a while, and if we don't like it, we'll leave.
Oh.
If that's the case, then that makes perfect sense. I could see myself doing something like that, you know, like if I fell in love with a prince, being like, yo, here's the deal, because I'm not going to do that because I know what's coming.
Listen, bringing it back to what I said earlier, I love it for them because those two words put together.
No boss.
Like, you know, I don't have to listen to the old lady. Yeah, and well, it's the second favorite thing. But I told you, there's no such thing as unfortunately.
I mean, I've never gotten the impression she was super all in on this. And I don't know if who knows what the conversations back door before their wedding were, you know?
Yeah, maybe. I have no issue with them deciding this together as a couple. That's fine. So I don't think they're being selfish. I just think it's funny that, like, they went into this and she's like, it seems to me, and I could be wrong, like, she was like, what is this?
to be like, a fly on the wall with the queen. I would love to see the queen's
reaction. She's no joke.
She is. I mean, there's a reason she hasn't stepped down yet. She wants the control, wants the power.
And that's the other thing I'll echo, Mike, is maybe she was fine with customs. Maybe she didn't really know her in-laws.
Think of what she, this queen, has survived.
And, you know, I can't imagine.
A lady used to fix her own cars, get under the car and wrench.
Oh, she's badass. And I love my in-laws, but I don't know if I'd want to be in a permanent career with them at all times.
Oh, God. No. But then would you marry your wife then?
I think knowing, because I love her more than anything else, I think the idea.
But if your wife was like, okay, my family has a car shop, and what they expect is I'm going to work at the car shop, and you're going to work at the car shop, and that's what's going to happen. We're all going to work at the car shop. And you were just like, yeah, okay, I'm down with that. And then you got there, and you're like, wait, we're all working at the car shop?
She probably wasn't like, oh, wait, this is happening. She was probably like, you know what? I love you, but I can't do it.
What do we got, Mike?
So there's now reports that the queen was not aware or is definitely not fully supportive of them stepping away. A statement from the Royal Communications Office, which is from the queen's side, not from the Duke and Duchess, says, discussions with the Duke and Duchess are at an early stage. We understand their desire to take a different approach, but these are complicated issues that will take time to work through.
Okay.
Yes!
Fantastic. I mean, hot take, I guess. I've actually never understood the concept of the royals.
No, me either.
Me neither at all.
Jeff, you got an ad playing.
It's just, another great scam. That's all.
But it's a very expensive scam.
But, I mean, Kev, though, does it really matter? We got, like, what, 2-3 weeks before World War III, we're all gone?
Oh, yeah, it's so exciting.
This is fine. It's fine.
All right, we're not going to war, though. Trump, I thought today was pretty good, where he basically was like, okay, you guys got one over on us.
Kevin, 2016, if Trump gets elected, World War III is going to happen. Oh, North Korea? Oh, my goodness. We do anything with North Korea? World War III is going to happen. Oh, my goodness. Look at this thing with Iran. World War III is going to happen.
He predicted it himself. Did you guys see that? He predicted that.
Are you talking about Trump?
Yeah.
You're talking about the Iran missiles with Obama, right?
Yeah.
And he tweeted, in 2014. Yeah. A little different situation. But, yes, there is a correlation with tweets.
I was really surprised by his reaction today.
People are saying they were not fans of the press conference.
His daughter has his ear.
I think he's on heavy medications.
Somebody mentioned today that...
It was insane.
That he likes...
Adderall.
Yeah, someone said that.
He's probably snorting.
That's what they said during Apprentice. I mean, I don't know if it's true.
When he's speaking,
to be in his 70s and up all night and Diet Coke and this and that, I don't know.
Well, I was editing my reel for to get a job, and I was going back through Tomorrow Show footage, and when we had Janice Dickinson on, and this is in my reel, I say to her, do you think Donald Trump was on drugs? Because she was talking about partying at Studio 54. Thank you. And because she was, like, talking about partying with Trump, and she was, like, talking about him doing drugs, and she was like, everybody else was doing it. Why wouldn't he be doing it?
Right.
But that's when he's not the president of the United States. A lot of people have admitted to doing drugs. Obama's admitted to doing cocaine. Bill Clinton did not inhale. But, you know, so I'm not saying I'm okay with a president who has done things life. But
today, what was your thoughts on his morning speech? Like,
I think it's interesting with him because you never know what you're going to get, and he was very open. Even, I mean, I was happy to hear, and this is what everyone was freaking out about. Oh, Iran tossing missiles. And it's like, okay, the U.S. intelligence is the best in the world. We knew several hours beforehand, which came out today. We knew 3 hours before they were going to launch the missiles. Okay, everyone go under. They didn't even – they destroyed like one helicopter. You know, we had everything put away. I thought he was a little too bold today, but – it's Trump on Twitter in a press conference.
But he did say, I want peace, and right?
Like, oh, yeah. And so I don't think there will be anything. Even the, you know, from the Iranian side, they're saying that, you know, this was not, we don't want war either. This was just
that's
a retaliation.
What I'm saying. So
from
I'm actually surprised. Like, I was waiting. I thought he was going to be like, I don't negotiate with terrorists. And that I thought that he was going to be like, let's party. And I was actually impressed that he said we want peace and I want peace. That I was honestly like I was surprised.
The House votes tomorrow, led nice by Pelosi, to be able to limit the amount of military control that he can do in the future. There's a House vote tomorrow.
Might not be a bad thing.
It was just making the decision that he did is incredible. I've listened to so many different analysts on this subject.
Right, better than right than you'd expect, right, Steph?
Incredibly, what's
I'm
the word
saying
following?
To assassin.
Good or bad?
Bad.
Incredible. Okay, I just wanted to clarify.
Oh, today was bad?
No,
oh.
To assassin him. We haven't assassinated a very high political figure since the 60s, I believe, when it was a Japanese someone really high up. And it doesn't make any sense. And they were saying the process of how presidents are presented the options, they give you the war, like the highest problematic decision you could make, and no one ever does it. They say it so that you could pick the middle one, and it looks like you made that decision.
So they say you have option A, B, and C.
He went for B.
C. So
that's me. Well, again, I know that, but that happened a while ago. I'm talking about now. Like, oh. What his decision was, like what that speech was today. I think we're in now. Like, I mean, once you pull your gun out of your holster, that's when you're in trouble.
Kev, let me ask you this. Just the hashtag World War III has been trending nonstop, and that seems to be the main conversation right now. And Michael just gave his input on the fact that I believe what you were saying is you don't believe we're heading towards World War III.
Not a chance.
I don't think
Kevin,
so.
Kevin, you do not think that we're
no,
heading
because
World
his III. Reaction showed that someone got in his ear, Rox, that's what I think, and said, dude, don't, there's going to be a lot of people are going to die. We'll win. We'll blow them off the map.
Do you think that's what they said, or do you think they said, you don't want this to be your legacy?
Yeah, all of it, Rox. All of it. And do not be surprised if they didn't show him his video about what he said about Obama.
And Bush. And
remember, he accused Obama of attacking Iran just to get votes. And Maria was saying, I bet you that, again, I think the daughter said, Dad, look. You're doing exactly what you like. I think that's how he operates.
Yeah,
but that's good for us because, listen, I'm a guy that goes back to 78 and feeling really down in the dumps when they took our hostages, and I definitely have that like South Medford Italian low life side, thug side to me, who's like, oh, Iran, you got it coming, but. I also have like an educated, enlightened side. It's like, okay, really, dude? Like, it's not a Rambo movie.
All these civilians.
You're gonna kill so many people. Yeah. Like, no, and our guys, like, and girls, like, no. So I'm really impressed with that. Listen, knowing who this guy is, I mean, this is Rambo as president. I mean, I don't want to knock Rambo because I love that character, but you know what I mean? It's a cowboy president. And the fact that he showed restraint for whatever reason, I'll take it.
This is
two questions coming from the chat right now. One from our very own Megan Lynn, who says, some people have been tweeting at Twitter that they need to block Trump so he doesn't make matters worse with Iran or other issues. What do you think? Also, Iran.
Slippery slope.
Yeah.
Trump adds $2 billion to the net worth of Twitter. Never going to happen.
I'm not saying is it going to happen or not. I'm saying do you think that they should?
No, because of slippery slope.
No
they already
do
a lot of that now, Rox, but him, he'd be too loud. And you know. But
another
it's too
one
slippery
coming from our super chat, Matthew Gold, who's another mod of mine. Matthew, you rock. All this happening before his reelection, too. I guess the follow-up to that would be, do you think that this affects that?
Some of it was interesting. It was a limo driver the other day. He was a pretty smart guy, and he was saying to me that his followers will follow him no matter what. So if he'd come out today, this morning, and said, we're going to kick ass, everyone would be like,
100%.
He said no. All right, you guys, we've got to take this ship out of orbit. Yeah. Jeff, get us out of orbit, please.
This was such a tough. This has been a tough week of like everyone's like, wait, is it good? Is it bad? Is it? And it's thankfully on a positive note, because so much of the end of last year was like so divided. It was actually this issue kind of brought people together to a certain extent. I feel.
I mean, I don't think anyone wants to send more troops.
No, but the assassination guy. Everyone was like, kind of good, kind of bad. Kind of
well,
like everyone
he's
was coming back.
Obviously, a bad way. Just bad guy. Just not done well.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave it on this. It was, I believe it was the great Pat O'Brien I did an interview with who said, no one in life, nothing in life goes undefeated. And then he said, correction. There is one thing that goes undefeated. Pussy. I don't think there's anything left to say, Roxy.
That's such a mic drop moment.
I mean, you know, and then it was like, and it was like he said that to me and then turned right to camera. Hi, I'm here with Pat O'Brien. I'm here. We're talking entertainment. We're talking to. I was like, awesome. Old Hollywood baby.
This is such a weird place.
Listen, we think we covered this last episode before the holidays. We didn't even talk about the Christmas hangover, you guys. This is a dark period for me.
Sorry.
Especially without the Patriots. Like, this is, ugh.
I know.
All right. Who are you cheering for now?
I still have your Christmas card.
The winning team, baby.
Seahawks.
I like the Seahawks because I'm friends with Russell's partner. And that I love the Seahawks. I love Jimmy the Guinea. I love this Baltimore team. He's fun
Lamar
to watch.
Jackson.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun. Listen, guys. So what is your one adjective? Can we go out on that?
Or one word of the year?
Like, yes. What is that one word?
I don't know if it's
word?
An adjective. Is that okay?
Well, yours is, right? Verb.
Yeah.
It's a verb.
Yeah.
Is it verb, Rock? You're smarter than me.
It's a verb. I would say.
It's a verb.
Right?
Yeah. Well, it depends on how I'm using it. To act, actor, like.
Maybe can we explain what this is? Because it may actually help our audience.
The one word thing?
Yes.
So this is a Kevin theory, Kevism, where going into the new year as you're picking all your resolutions to also pick one word to really focus your energy towards and always be able to get centered and come back to that word. So this year, Kevin, yours is mindful.
Mindful. Yesterday someone came up to me at a CES. This was a good one. And said, I heard Maria's podcast. Mine is amplify. This person wants to amplify
That's cool.
who they are.
I like
they
that.
Want to come out of their shell. Whatever.
Last year's yours was upgrade.
Upgrade.
And you really did spend all year coming back to that word. Mm-hmm.
So all year you take that one word and you know, when you're making your decisions as the year goes on, rather than one resolution, it's like, wait, I'm not being mindful.
So yours is an adjective because yours is kind of a way of life. It's a description of you. He's mindful,
too, though, right?
Being mindful of it.
And I need to be mindful in this decision, though. That's verb, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, it depends on how
both.
You're using it.
It's both.
Yeah,
I mean, I use it, you know, constantly. Like even there was a day today. I wasn't going to get the change back from the person who picked up my car or whatever, and I was like, no, I need to be more mindful of money. Excuse me, I need my change. Anyway,
I know that we can talk about this next time. We should all come with our words because Jeff said really got a wrap, and then I saw him rubbing his head like he was really nervous.
Oh, Jeff's scared.
That made me really got to go. I do want to give a shout out
1 minute
to Jay Leno in here because Super Chat, so we read all of those.
He's great on Sam's show.
He says, Roxy, will you marry me? Yes.
Why so not? Just get engaged. Why not? Why don't we do an online engagement? Rox, your word is to act.
Yep.
Steph, your word is what?
Execute.
I like that. Michael.
Focused.
Oh, that's mine.
All right. Yeah, but that's good, Scam Kenzie. You need that.
I don't have the same one as him.
Yeah, but stop it. Haley, what?
Maybe I think just focus.
Focus. Yeah, I think so too. All right. And Jeff, I'm sorry, no one. I don't think people care as much.
I get that.
No,
mine's
Jeff.
Christmas.
Is it Christmas? No. Is it, Jeff? I would. That would just bring you up a whole other.
Create was mine.
Yes, create. Okay.
I remembered.
You guys.
I'm going to hold you guys all to it.
You can all find us on social media. We have to get out of here. So until next week, please do your best to make it a better tomorrow.
Thanks for tuning in to The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro and Roxy Stryer. Be sure to subscribe to our Not Sam YouTube channel and hit us up on social media at The Tomorrow Show. I'm Sam Roberts, the last professional broadcaster, and this has been a presentation of the Not Sam Network.